Every year, Denver residents use over 100 million disposable bags. Starting July 1st, bring your own bag when you shop. All retail stores will charge 10 cents for each plastic or paper bag provided at checkout.
Welcome to the March 23rd quarterly public forum of the Citizen Oversight Board. We are excited to bring to you an agenda that is a mix of updates and information about our progress and work efforts the last year. And are thrilled to have a number of board members presenting on the call tonight. Daniel, before we begin, I understand that Terrence is having trouble getting in. Would you mind connecting with him? Thank you. All right, so we can move to the agenda slide, and I'll go over this really quickly and then dive into our first agenda item. If you wouldn't mind advancing the slides. Thank you. Perfect. So if you're unfamiliar with this format or forum, the Citizen Oversight Board hosts at least three times a year meetings to engage the public in a variety of topics, including active investigations and work of the monitor's office, important community events and knowledge and information, as well as the board's happenings, current discussions, decisions, and activities. Today, we'll be covering the latest in terms of the search for the independent monitor. And we'll be going over the recently published report of the board covering our 2021 activities. This includes everything from an overview and review of the Office of the Independent Monitor, changes within COB, and our top concerns and recommendations informed by discussions with the public. We'll also have just a brief update on data and results related to the Denver Police Department's response to the George Floyd protests. And items that were identified in the interim, in the independent monitor's report, fall of 2020. Finally, we'll conclude with some opportunities for community members to engage in the work of the COB and a public safety oversight. So we can go to our first agenda topic, which I'll cover. If you are unaware, we were conducting a search for the next independent monitor. The previous independent monitor left the role January of 2021. And the COB, in partnership with the mayor's office at the time, began a search for the next monitor. In the fall, voters passed referred measure 2G, which gave the COB full oversight over the hiring and firing of the monitor. And the COB took over the search process. Between fall of last year and February of this year, we were deeply engaged in the search process and proceeded to the public with three candidates who were good candidates, but in the end, we're not quite the right fit the board was looking for the role. As a result, the board has decided to continue the search for the independent monitor. And the interim monitor, Greg Crittenden, will remain as the independent monitor and has graciously extended his time in that role, which is far beyond initial expectations. As a result of this continued search, the COB decided to refresh and renew certain components of the work we did in the fall and revise our process. And in some cases, we'll continue on with the processes that we felt were strong and effective. So the first order of business for us is to find a new recruiting firm. We received proposals from recruiting firms last Friday and are hoping to make a decision on a firm by this Friday. Then we'll begin working with the city attorney's office to contract with that future firm. We also, whoops, too far. Thank you. We also, as a part of the referred measure 2G, have new guidelines for what our screening committee membership needs to look like. In the past, it was 5 individuals, and going forward, it will be 7. And so we have been working to recruit and identify new members for the screening committee, and are close to closing out that list, and we'll release that information to the public as soon as possible. We've also established a regular and ongoing model for communications with particularly interested community organizations and partners, so that throughout this process, we'll have the voice of the community infused in the recruitment. If you have suggestions and feedback for how we could improve the process for recruiting the next monitor based on your experience last time, or ideas you have for how we might engage the public or connect on the work with individuals, we are open to that feedback. And so if you have email available to you, please send an email to cob@denvergov.org. And we're happy to engage your ideas on ways to improve our process. So excited about where we are. We feel like, a second recruitment is not a failure in our process, but an opportunity to really get just the right fit in terms of the candidate for the city, and are committed to pursuing that process quickly, efficiently, and also in a way that's community engaged. So excited about that. We hope that we can select the next monitor by the end of summer to onboard that person in the fall. So that's our target timeline. You can go to the next slide. So just in terms of how this will go, as I mentioned, we're kind of in the preparation phase right now, where we're working to select our recruiting firm. And then we'll engage with contracting. We launched our community, ongoing community dialogue meeting this week, and hope to use that as an opportunity to continue to engage the public throughout the process, as I mentioned. In the May through July timeframe, we expect that the recruiting firm will work through developing the profile of the monitor, building a marketing brochure and materials that will help entice candidates and interest candidates in the role. We'll also hopefully proceed through the initial screening with the recruiter and work with the selection committee where possible. And then July, August, potentially the first and second round of interviews with the screening committee and the COB. And like I mentioned, hopefully doing a similar set of public forums to what we did this last time. We had a great turnout from the community and really solid questions from folks that gave us a real opportunity to get to know the candidates. And we expect a similar set of processes and activities to happen this fall as well. So this is our proposed timeline. Happy to get feedback and questions on that. I'm already seeing a question come in about the position description, and I actually think that's already available on the city's website as it's a standard position in the city. So if you look at the city's HR site, it should be available there. And if not, we'd be happy to post that on our website. All right, moving on to the next agenda item. I will turn it over to Al Gardner.
Thank you, Julia. My turn already. Okay. A couple of things I want to cover, just two things. And the first will be about operational changes that we've been able to experience with COB over the past year. One really good operational change was at the addition of an administrator. In the beginning of 2021, the board successfully received approval and funding to convert a part-time on-call administrative assistant position to a full-time program administrator, which was filled in September of 2021. That was will make a huge impact on the effectiveness of the board and our ability to carry out our obligations, such as the quarterly public forum and a number of other things. So very good. Good to have Daniel as the newest member of the COB team and family. Second one is the budget in 2022. In 2021, the board requested and we received a significant increase to our budget in 2022. Specifically, our operational budget increased to $47,000, more than double actually the previous year's budget. So that's another big win for the COB, and there again impacts our ability to carry out some of the core functions, as well as a lot of the things that we'd like to do to increase the visibility, as well as other things like allowing us to utilize marketing tools to reach out to the community and increase awareness and participation even more. We also referred question 2G and the hiring of the independent monitor. So on August 16, 2020, City Council voted and added the referred question 2G, as many of you are aware of, to the 2021 ballot this past November. And it was passed. It passed November 2nd by 70.25% of Denver residents voted to approve that question 2G, which was huge for the community, as well as the independent monitor's office and the COB's ability to assess the effectiveness. Second thing I would like to cover is the evaluation of the OIM. And as you know, part of one of our main goals or responsibilities as the Citizen Oversight Board is to assess the effectiveness of the Independent Monitor's Office as a whole. There are quite a few statistics that are in the full evaluation of the OIM that are available and will be available to the public. So I won't go over each one of them, but I've chosen a couple of highlights to cover. And one is the workload and performance data. Overall complaints, investigations, and disciplinary recommendations provided to the OIM to review all decreased by 10 to 20% compared to 2020. Now, so a lot of that has to do that there are fewer police contacts, partly because of COVID, that were made in 2021. With fewer contacts, there are fewer complaints and cases, obviously. But that is a number to dig into and one that we're able to assess with the OIM. Mediations remain near low levels in 2020, reflecting the ongoing, there again, impact of COVID. While the OIM's outreach events to both law enforcement officers and community increased slightly in 2021, they remained at approximately one third of pre-pandemic levels. Another significant, a couple more significant ones are the public safety feedback. So the board provided the sheriff and the police department and the Department of Safety with the opportunity to share their feedback, which is important to the OIM as well as the COB. As you know, that the OIM's tasked with the investigation of many complaints and those things that occur in all three of these offices. Armando Soldante, at the time, who was an interim department executive director of safety, provided feedback and praised the interim independent monitor's collaborative approach, which he stated, and I quote, has absolutely brought about a better understanding of one another's perspectives, as well as resulting in meaningful change. And we're not surprised by that statement, being that Greg Crittenden has been in the independent monitor's office for a long time and has a passion for doing what he's doing. Other board assessment is communication with the COB, which is of major importance to this body. It is how we're kept abreast of the effectiveness of the independent monitor's office. Given the complexity, size, and scope, the interim independent monitor does an excellent job. This is what the COB concluded. Has done an excellent job of keeping the board apprised of significant incidents, investigations, and disciplinary issues. One thing about the current interim independent monitor is that he makes himself available at any time to answer any question, and has done an outstanding job, him and the entire office, at getting back to us in a timely manner. And in this report, in this evaluation, when you go through the evaluation on page 13, actually, you'll be able to see where we provided a rubric. And they've actually rated the responses, which is very important. I won't go over all of them, but that's where you can find this information. Lastly, a couple of the other areas that we evaluated were monitoring of investigations, monitoring of discipline, monitoring of the critical incident, production of reports, production of policy, practice, and training recommendations, as well as outreach to complaint process stakeholders. And so these are the two areas in terms of significant changes with the COB and an overarching view of the OIM effectiveness evaluation. Thank you.
I think we are now turning it over to board member Terrence Carroll.
I think we may have lost him.
I think your sound is not working.
I think we may have lost Terrence. I don't see him.
I see him, but I don't hear him.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there he is.
We can hear you.
Someone was conspiring against me. I know who you are. So for the next few minutes, we're going to briefly go through some of the George Floyd protest data in light of the report from the independent monitor regarding that. We requested and received some updated information about the status of protest-related misconduct complaints. Specific information about ongoing complaints is legally protected, but we can provide some high-level information. Four brand new cases were opened since late September 2021. Two additional officers are no longer with DPD. One resigned. One probationary officer was terminated without the full disciplinary process. A total of four subject officers are no longer with DPD. Two previously retired. There are now six total sustained policy violations in five cases, one more six-day suspension, and along with a previous 10-day suspension was inaccurately reported. It was a six-day suspension. So the new total is 3 6-day suspensions. It appears there are several closed cases that have been reopened, but it's not clear how many. It is also not clear how many cases have been closed since September. The COB is still working to identify those cases. The board is also monitoring the ongoing federal trial against DPD, as well as several other lawsuits related to the George Floyd protests. If you want to stay up to date on those issues, as well as everything else the board is working on, I recommend you sign up for our monthly newsletter, which has been stated several times. And we have a nice little QR code. So for those of you who have access to your phone and you can take a picture of the QR code, go ahead and do that. There are many ways to engage with the board. There's our newsletter. I think our board chair has already talked about monitoring the hiring process. And then you can always use our email, cob@denvergov.org, or on social media. So at this point, I'd like to open it up for questions about any George Floyd related matters or other engagement with the board or any other topics. Is that right, Julia?
That's right. Yeah, we're open to questions from community members on any topic we've covered. While we wait for questions, as I'm not seeing any come in, I'll highlight too a few recommendations in our annual report that we made. These are particularly noteworthy as in many cases, these are areas that the COB, OIM, and public safety departments have been working on together or in conversations about for quite some time. So particularly the first bullet point here about the Public Integrity Division policies, and PID stands for Public Integrity Division. There have been years and years of work done on creating a formal and final policy related to the internal disciplinary procedures in the public safety departments. That set of processes remains in draft form and in some cases sort of moving slowly around different city stakeholders waiting for approval, for incorporation of edits, etc. And that remains problematic both for disciplinary actions and also for the OIM and COE holding the departments accountable to follow their processes. Without formal processes, it is very hard to hold someone accountable for following a process. So it creates this very unvirtuous cycle. And we really are eager to get those policies completed, finalized, and communicated to not only management, but staff and line level employees, so they know what to expect if they are subject to discipline. Public safety departments, in addition to many employers in the state, have had significant issues this year with recruiting and retention of employees. And that leaves a lot of gap in services, in coverage, and it creates risk both to the department fulfilling their missions and also to effectively deploying public safety in this city. We are 2 years out, 18 months out from the recommendations from the monitor's office on opportunities for improvements on the George Floyd protest activities and behaviors of the police department. In addition, there are ongoing investigations and cases related to actions that the police department took during those protests. And, those continue to be in progress. And, for everyone involved, it's to the benefit of the city that those get prioritized and closed appropriately, either with discipline or some other action. Lastly, the board and the sheriff's department have had a few conversations about their relationship with Denver Health and Hospital Authority, which is also known as Denver Health. Denver Health is the healthcare provider in the jails, and there is significant amount of confusion and lack of transparency over policies, responsibility, and the related disciplinary processes. So if a nurse, for example, makes a mistake in a jail, is the accountability at the sheriff or at Denver Health or both? And making sure that's very clear that, you know, as a holder of the contract with Denver Health, that the sheriff's department has the authority to, you know, take control of a situation and ensure that, you know, their contractor is working appropriately. There is also a good amount of discussion we've had as a board about the current crisis we have in America regarding opioids and mental health and the discontinuity that's created when someone who is in treatment or following a set of protocols outside of incarceration is taken out of that set of protocols, or you know, the medications are changed when they enter the jail, and you know, that creates life, health, and safety risks for those inmates, and requires a little bit more look. And then lastly, and connected to that, you know, folks who are under the care of a physician outside of the jail, you know, there's good work to be done connecting the healthcare provided inside with the healthcare provided outside, and making sure that even though someone's life is certainly disrupted by becoming incarcerated, that their health isn't compromised as a result. So good work to be done in all of these areas. All right, do we have questions coming in? So one question from Rebecca Henderson, I see, will this oversight board be issuing an opinion or feedback about the recently proposed AID diversion center? And the answer to that is, I don't know. We haven't talked about it as a board, but are happy to have a discussion about it in light of your suggestion here. So it's a fairly short answer since we haven't had the conversation. Other questions from community members or in the chat? Somebody asked if the description for the monitor will be updated since we didn't find exactly the right candidate. And the answer is probably no. The city's position description is sort of categorical and archival in a way. It's, you know, in accordance with their sort of general HR principles. But what we can do is really work to make sure that the brochure and our marketing materials and our communication about the role really emphasizes the things that the COB is looking for, uses the right kind of language, the right kinds of images, and you know, the right messaging to make sure that you know, we're aligned with the outcome of the process right at the beginning. So one of the challenges that we had in the last round of the process was it was started with one administration and then finished with another because 2G changed the authority over that process. And so now we'll hopefully be a little bit more continuous and more continuity throughout the process. So, are there any questions that board members have received that you'd like to cover, or topics that we haven't covered yet that board members would like to mention? If not, we can make it a very short quarterly public forum you know, wrap up. We'll give it just a couple more minutes for community questions to come in.
So I will say, as this, Julie, maybe this is something we can put out to the community. Of course, you spoke earlier that we will be retaining a new recruiting firm. But I did have someone did ask me a question in the community about whether or not the job will be reposted publicly. So,
yeah, that's a great question. So the position will be posted publicly. Each of the firms that we're looking at proposals from have, you know, a broad engagement approach, specific recruiting. So what that means is, you know, they call various existing monitors in other cities and say, would you be interested in the role? They reach out to community members in our own city to, you know, see if they would be interested in the role. So there's a lot of work to be done with proactive engagement, you know, and active recruiting. Part of the reason we hire a firm to do this is that they're positioned to, you know, really engage actively on that. There will be, you know, a glossy brochure that helps to articulate the role and the salary and the benefits and all of that. Something that, you know, is quite desirable. Each of the firms that we are looking at provided a sample, and, you know, all of them looked really slick. So hopefully there's a big communications and outreach push. And I know, you know, each of us as board members will have a role in making sure that, you know, folks in our network who are a fit for the position apply. So the more communication, the more message, messaging out there, the better on this one.
Julie, I wanted to ask the question of whether or not the nominating committee, that appointment for the nominating committee has been completed.
There will be 7 members of the nominating committee, and I am waiting on answers for 2 of the roles. I don't want to name those specifically because it'll call out individuals and waiting for their emails back. But we are very close on that. And my hope is that we can close that out within the next 2 weeks and get moving. The benefit of, you know, kind of boring government contracting is it gives us a little time to onboard that committee and get that committee formed and meeting. And so that'll be happening in short order. But that's probably the next information release that the board will have. We have a question from Facebook wondering if Nick Mitchell recommended anyone to the previous search. And I don't necessarily want to pick that up as a question in light of, you know, potentially confidential information that he shared with a recruiter. I know that he had provided both recommendations for what the role should entail and suggestions of what might be a fit for the city, both before his departure and in collaboration with the board. We had a few discussions with him about that position before he left. You know, certainly continues to be a community member with a voice in this process in the same way that others do as well. All right, other questions? All right, we will make it very short and sweet and wrap us up. What I'll say is stay tuned, keep checking the COB's website, both throughout the hiring process the next few months, but also please do read our annual report. We worked hard on it. It has tons of information in it, and it will help the community continue to engage with us and stay abreast of what we're working on. In some cases, the work we do is sort of wonky and nuanced and not that transparent to the community in terms of like, what does this mean? when it comes to, you know, reimagining policing, when we're talking about this, you know, weird policy that nobody's heard of. And in most cases, you know, these small steps that we're making have potentially large consequences to the benefit of the community. So getting a little bit familiar with that can help us do our job better and can help us engage with the community on the work. So really, you know, happy to receive feedback on that, questions about that. We'd love to engage you on that report. And then a reminder that the COB meets the first and third Fridays of the month, 10 to noon. And our meetings are typically about an hour in that 10 to noon timeframe. They're open and available to anyone to attend. And we host them virtually for now and for the foreseeable future. And so anyone who's interested is welcome to join one meeting or multiple meetings. And we typically take public questions and comments during that as well. So be in touch, and we look forward to engaging you in the next quarterly public forum. Thanks so much. Have a great evening.
Here to talk about digging deep and thinking critically about our community safety. Public statement.